reason why the curse of sin is broken. There's a reason why the darkness runs from light. There's a reason why we stand here now forgiven. Jesus is alive. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Edna. I welcome you all to the service this morning. We're so happy that you're joining us, whether you're here in person or whether you're joining us online. Wow, we have had an awesome week here at Evangel. We've had a week of prayer, and it's just such a privilege to be in the house of the Lord and just to be able to have that time, that extra time spending in His presence. So this morning, I've just prayed for everybody just to have a wonderful service and just an anointing. I could just feel such an anointing even when I walked in this building this morning, and that's what we should be feeling. And I'm going to open the service this morning with Psalm 130, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you. Hallelujah. Let's repeat that. But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch in the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all of his iniquities. Let's stand together this morning as we just open the service in prayer. Father God, we just come before you this morning, O God. Father, we just welcome you, Lord God, into this place to have your way, Lord God. Father, I just pray right now that we would just open our hearts, O God, and Lord God, just worship you with all of our hearts, O God, that you would have your way in this place, O Lord God. Father, we just ask, O God, today that, Lord, we would get out of our own way, and Father, that you would just minister to us, O God, in whatever way that you wish this morning, God, in our hearts would be to worship you with all that we are, to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. For you are merciful, O God, and you do hear us when we cry out to you, O Lord God. This morning, let our hearts cry out for more of you, I pray, O God. More depth in seeking you, Lord Jesus. More of your spirit and your anointing, O Lord, to rest upon us for your plans and for your purposes, Lord. And we ask, Lord God, today that you will just be with us as we worship. Just anoint our worship team, O God. Hallelujah. And have your way in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I invite you to come and receive all that the Lord has for you this morning as we worship him. Heaven on in, come rest on us,
Rock, oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I am an instrument of exaltation, and I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody of all creation, but there's a song of praise that only I can bring. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only Jesus. You are the infinite God of the ages. Yet you chose to make my heart your dwelling.
Jesus, there is no one.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. One more time.
An awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give you all honor and praise and glory.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, O Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What an awesome God you are, Lord. What an awesome God you are. There's no one like you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus, you are worthy. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus.
We worship you, Lord. There is no one like you, God.
Oh,
lift you up, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. God, you are not only awesome out there, you're not only awesome because you spun the universe into existence, you're not only awesome because you created this world and all the beauty in it, you're not only awesome because, God, we look up at the stars at night and see the expanse of the galaxy and are so blown away by who you are. But God, you are awesome because of what you have done in us and for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You are awesome because you are an awesome Savior. You are awesome because you have stooped low to pursue us, to pursue our hearts, to live in this world, to die for us, and rise again. You are awesome. Because of the freedom that we have in you. Because of the life that we have in you. What an awesome God you are, Lord. We can declare it to the end of time and, Lord, still not say it enough. You are an awesome God. Worthy are you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor and praise in this place today. Hallelujah. Say it again. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome. Let's declare it this morning. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God
is an awesome God.
Yes, our God, He is an awesome
God.
He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God
is an awesome
God. One more time, our God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Oh, our God is an awesome God.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, you are
praise
so worthy.
You, Lord. Hallelujah.
You are so worthy. You are so worthy. Folks, if you're here this morning in the presence of that awesome God, you came in this morning carrying a burden, a distracting, heavy burden on your life this morning. Our awesome God is able to move in your life and to move in your situation. We want to pray for you right now. We just want to take a moment. Just all across this room, if you are carrying a burden that you want to release to an awesome God, I'm going to ask you to just raise a hand just to say, God, that's me. That's me. This morning, I'm lifting up my burden to you. I'm giving it to you, and I'm recognizing you are Lord. You are Lord over every area of my life. You're even Lord of this, and I give it to you. Father, I thank you this morning that you are present by your Spirit in this room. That you are here, God, to touch lives. You are here, God, to strengthen and heal and restore and give hope and give peace and give joy. You are here, God, to bring your kingdom atmosphere to our lives. Yes. And we call on you, Lord. We call on you, Lord, because we know that you are the name above every name. You are the name that we can call on and find hope. You are the one that we wait on. We wait on the Lord, and you renew our strength. We wait on the Lord, and you lift us up. We wait on the Lord, and we rise like eagles. Even as our circumstances are happening around us, we rise. Even as the storm is happening, we rise. God, give us a perspective that you are so much bigger than our circumstances. You are a miracle working God, and we give these things to you. We trust them to you. Come move by your Spirit, we pray. God, we just put you in the place you deserve in our lives. Awesome God. That's your title. Awesome God. Above all other things, we love you. We seek you. We honor you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're gonna. The kids are gonna stay with us just for a couple minutes, but I'm gonna release everyone to just go and find somebody to encourage, a few people to encourage this morning. Go say hi to somebody. All right. Come on back to your seats. Love the buzz in the room. I don't want to be a buzzkill. Come on back to your seats. And I'm going to ask all the kids that are They're going to go down to Kids Jam in just a minute, but why don't you come on up here for a second, please? All the kids, come on up. Come on up, guys. Boys and girls, come on up. All right. Hey, guys. We just want to take a minute and pray for you guys before you go down to Kids Jam. Kids Jam, you have a, yeah? Have you guys ever lost a toy?
Yes.
Yes. Was that happy or sad?
Happy.
Happy?
I don't care.
Yeah. If you lost a toy, did you look for it?
No.
No.
I never look for my toys.
You never look for your toys. Well, this is going well. Today we're talking up here in Big People Church about seeking God. And I think sometimes, I know when I lose something, Pastor Pam can confirm this. That when I lose something, like a pen, which is usually what it is, I can't think of anything else until I find my pen. And I pull out all the cushions in the couch, and I look under every table, and I look in every bag until I find my pen.
A king. Where do you find it?
And then I find it. So I think God wants us to look for Him with that kind of excitement, that kind of, that He is that important to us, that we will keep looking for Him.
This is new.
Okay? We're going to pray for you guys so you can go seek God in Kids Jam. God, we thank you for these kids. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for their love for you. Thank you that they're learning and growing in their faith and learning to trust you. God, I pray your blessing on them today as they go to Kids Jam. I pray that they'd have fun. I pray that they'd get creative. And I pray that they would learn lots about who you are and how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See you guys.
Go ahead. Well, good morning, church family, and welcome to the house of the Lord today. My name is Jim. I had to read it to make sure I knew it was me. I'll be sharing a few important announcements with you today. If you are a first or second time guest today, we are very glad you're here. We love to have a record of your visit and be able to help you with the next steps in your journey of connecting with Jesus and with Evangel. So we have Connect cards available, which you will find in the pew in front of you or on our website at evangelbathurst.ca. You can fill these out and tell us a little bit about yourself. And for our newcomers, if you fill out one, bring it to the Welcome Center after the service. You can hand it in and receive a free gift. Who doesn't like a free gift? Also, for anyone who has questions, we'd be happy to answer these for you. Or if you have any prayer requests, you can put these down on the back of the cards as well. Next steps. We are beginning a Next Steps class on Sunday, February 1st, running for three Sundays, ending February 15th. If you are a newcomer to Evangel, this is an opportunity for you to get to know us better, of course, our beliefs and values and vision, and for us to help you identify and take the next steps in your faith journey. A sign-up sheet is available in the lobby for those who would like to attend, so please check that out on your way out this morning. Hearts and hands free. You'll notice some of these little cards out in the lobby. Valentine's Day is about connections, but we know life with kids can make that a little challenging. That's why we're offering Hearts and Hands Free. It's our way of blessing families with the gift of time. How precious that is. We're creating a fun and safe place for kids with games, activities, lunch, and a cozy movie so parents can step away for a few hours to rest, connect, or simply breathe. I know all about that. Scriptures remind us in Ecclesiastes that 4:9-10 that two are better than one. And in Galatians 6:2, we're called to carry each other's burdens. That's our heart behind this event. So Pastor Ocean will be in the lobby and she'll be handing out the cards. When you get the card, there is a QR code on it. Don't hesitate to scan it and all the details, but I'm sure she can answer some of the questions. Giving. The ushers are going to begin to receive your tithes and offerings right now as they pass the offering plates. If you are a first-time guest, there is no obligation to give. For the rest of you, if you didn't come prepared to give or prefer to give digitally, you can e-transfer to giving@evangelbathurst.ca. And one more notice I skipped over. Worship night is tonight. A reminder to come join us tonight at 6 p.m. for our first monthly worship night of 2026 as we spend time in worship and in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Thank you very much.
Amen. Just before we pray, I have two quick family notes, and I hope I'm correct in the first one. I think it's someone's birthday in the room. Avalyn, she's been coming out for three or four months, and it's Avalyn's birthday today. So really quickly, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Avalyn. Happy birthday to you. Good, good. And the other thing, Mike Caldwell, would you come up for a second? He's in trouble. Mike and his company take care of our parking lot every winter. They have since I've been here, and long before that, I think. A while before that, anyways. And not only ours, but other churches in the city. For free. As a gift to our church. And so every year at the end of the year, I usually give him a little thank you, small, tiny little token of our thanks in a gift card. But Mike, I wanted to just publicly say thank you so much for all that you do, not only for our church, but for the churches in our city, and for your generosity and kindness. It's a real blessing.
Good, thank you.
Yeah. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you that we get to be a part of an amazing church family, and Mike is just one example of so many that give of their time and energy and finances and give their heart in so many ways to be as a part of this family, to see your mission, your kingdom advance. God, I thank you for every person that gives of themselves. We don't do it for thanks. We don't do it for pats on the back. We do it for your kingdom's sake, for you. We do it as worship. And God, I pray for your blessing on those who give again, of their energy, their time, of their finances. God, we pray your blessing on what was given here this morning. God, you're an amazing provider. You give us seed to sow. And I thank you for those who sowed well this morning. And I pray that, God, you would pour back into their lives increase and blessing and seed to sow as you promised to do. And Father, we just thank you that you are with us today. I pray for those who are in need of healing. I think of, especially this morning, we think once again of Connie and pray that you would touch and heal and strengthen her today. Bring her to full and complete healing. We miss her. Just pray your blessing upon her today. We pray for Janet, God, that you would surround her as well today. She needs a healing touch from you. Raise her up and strengthen her in Jesus' name. God, we just thank you that you are a healing God. You are at work in many lives, and we give you thanks. Amen. Amen. All right.
Does that mean that winter's over?
Winter's over, yes. Yeah. For sure. Not a bit of snow left. Thanks, Barry. If wishing made it so, right? Yeah, nice polar vortex we got going on. I think we've got, my mic is a little loud, and I think we've got some ringing going on. We can maybe pull that back a bit. Good. This, as was mentioned, this was our week of prayer. And we've had an amazing time. We've had about... probably 35 to 40 people that have been involved in on site, coming and joining us for times of prayer. And I know that some have been praying in their homes as well. And we're just so thankful for God's presence that has been with us throughout our times of prayer. And so thankful that He has been at work. Last Sunday, we gave an opportunity for those who were here to jot down prayer needs that you wanted us to lift up before the Lord this week, and we got a stack of prayer needs that came in this week, and a comment that was made a number of times through the week by different people. As they would read through prayer needs and be praying for individuals and situations, praying for God's breakthrough, those of you who engaged in this, who wrote down prayers, there was just such an honesty, a vulnerability. A desire to see God do something in your situations, in your families, in your needs, and the comment was made a number of times through the week that there was true faith demonstrated by the writing down of these prayers, and that God was certainly at work working in these situations. So thank you for entrusting us with burdens that you are carrying, and we just want to pray one more time over this pile. We're not going to go through all of them this morning, but we're going to pray. Just lay my hands on it and pray over these needs, and we're going to pray that God's going to move in every one of these situations. That He is moving, and He will have His way. We want God's way, don't we? So as we do this, would you stand one more time and just extend a hand as we hold up these prayer needs before the Lord. Father, this pile signifies, I know, blood, sweat, and tears. People who have brought these needs before you with zeal, with passion. Maybe some, God, as just crying out to you as a last resort. God, I need you to move. God, these have been written down. Many of them have been prayed over. These needs have been prayed over for weeks and months, and some for decades. God, we hold these up before you and ask, Father, that you would move by your power in every one of these situations. We pray that, God, in every home, in every family, in every life, that, God, you would move by your power and anointing. God, that we would see healing miracles happen in Jesus' name. That we would see, God, breakthrough in employment and finances and family healing. And God, in salvations, God, there's so many salvation prayers in this pile. God, people who need to come to know you as Savior and Lord, and people who are crying out to you for these individuals. We thank you, God, that you have heard these prayers, that you are hearing these prayers, that, God, you have received them like incense rising up to you, Lord. Beautiful incense rising up to you. You are delighted by the prayers of your people. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare breakthrough over every one of these situations in Jesus' name. We give you thanks, Lord. You are the way maker. Where there seems to be no way, you are the way maker. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Just to mention, I almost forgot, but this course, The Heartbeat of Scripture, is starting this Wednesday if you're interested. I won't go into a commercial on that, but it's starting this Wednesday here. So our theme this week during our week of prayer has been but by my Spirit. And we know we talked about this last week, preached from that passage in Zechariah chapter 4. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And there's two sides of the coin on that. There's nothing we can do to accomplish God's will and purpose. It's Him. And yet, there are God is with us. He is for us. And that when we walk in faith, trusting in His plan and purpose for our lives, there is everything we can do. We can speak to that mountain, be moved. Right? We can't move it, but we can speak to it in faith and it will be moved. God said to Zerubbabel in the passage we read in Zechariah 4, where this comes from. Who are you, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? Right? Zerubbabel couldn't conquer the enemies that were against him. Zerubbabel couldn't build the temple by himself. He couldn't accomplish all the things that needed to be accomplished. And yet God said, who are you, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? Because he is an anointed child of God that walks in faith. And what can stand against the child of God when they are walking in God's anointing? Amen? Amen? Wow, you guys are quiet this morning. This is not going to work if I'm up here doing this by myself. All right? You're with me. Good. Thank you. Good, good. So just a couple things I want to draw out of. There's so many things that the Lord was saying to us throughout this week, and I want to touch down on a couple of them before we move into a word from the Lord. God is looking for people of integrity. In the last week, and I don't want to go down too far down this bunny trail, but in the last week there have been some major exposés of people in the charismatic movement of faking prophecies, faking miracles, sexual, gross, perverse sexual immorality. And God is exposing those things because he wants his church to walk in a last day's anointing that is equal to the challenge that we will face. He is cleaning house because he needs a people who will rise up and walk in integrity, because it's integrity and character that can carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I think, this isn't about jumping on a bandwagon to point at frauds and phonies and whatever. It's about God, may our hearts be so surrendered to you that we can walk in integrity and character before you, sons and daughters of the Most High, so that we can carry on our lives the kind of anointing that breaks the power of darkness, the kind of anointing that transforms lives. Because we are walking into a time like has never been seen on the earth before. When the darkness will increase, but so will the light. And the cleaning house is not just for mega church leaders and superstar ministry leaders and pastors and whatever, it's for all of the church of Jesus Christ. That our lives would be surrendered to him so that he can work through us the way he wants to work through us. God is looking for people of integrity. Here's a word that was shared. Prepare. The faith level you have now may not carry you in the days ahead. Put the word of God in your heart and pray, pray, pray. Prepare. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? Right? May we hear that challenge in our spirits. prepare. John 4:35 was shared a number of times independently at different prayer meetings when people didn't know that other people were sharing this scripture. John 4:35, and it's a story. The context, really quickly, is Jesus was at, he ends up at a well in Samaria, a place that Jews didn't normally go. He ends up at this well talking to this woman. We call her the woman at the well, because she was a woman at the well. And Jesus is having this conversation. We won't get into that. You can read it in John chapter 4. It's an incredible encounter that this woman has with Jesus. And he just kind of lays her life bare with prophetic understanding. And she comes to faith in Christ and runs back into town to get all the townspeople. Meanwhile, Jesus' disciples were in town getting food. And they come out. They probably met her running into town as they were coming out. And they come out and they come to Jesus and Jesus, we've got some food for you. All they can think about is food, right? And Jesus says, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. In other words, there's more important things on my mind right now, guys. Right? And they're like, yeah, but you need to eat something, Jesus. And Jesus says, and so the woman has gone into town to get the townspeople, gather them up. This is all happening while this conversation is taking place. And imagine the crowds are starting. She's dragging the townspeople out to, you've got to come see this Jesus who told me everything about my life. And all of this is happening and the disciples are completely unaware, completely oblivious. All they can think about is their stomachs and the food. Jesus, will you just say the blessing so we can eat the food? And Jesus says to them, lift up your eyes and see. Imagine the people are, at this point, they're coming, a whole crowd of people are coming towards them. Lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. There's people ready to grab a hold of the kingdom. And I think that's the church. The church is like the disciples that sometimes get so caught up in our stomach and our food and our stuff and our programs and our whatever we're doing, and we don't see what God is doing all around us. We're oblivious to the moment, the divine moment that's happening around us. And Jesus would say to us, lift up your eyes and look. The fields are white and ready for harvest. Evangel, I want us to hear that challenge. One of the things that came forward was boots on the ground. It's time to get boots on the ground. It's awesome that we're praying for people to come to know Christ. We need to pray and work. We need to pray and go, right? We need boots on the ground. Prayer is the air warfare, but we need boots on the ground. We need to be actually face to face with people who need Jesus. Right? Connecting, interacting, engaging with people who need Christ. Just two more, bless you. Just two more I'll share. This is one that God reminded me as we were praying. Just I'll grab it. It's right here. God reminded me as we were praying of someone came to me someone in the room right now, I won't call them out and embarrass them, but someone came to me about 4 or 5 years ago and handed me this coupon. It wasn't for the coupon, it was what's on the other side. And they had written on this little card a French word, passe-partout, master key. Said, I believe this is a word for this church. I believe that God is, in 2026, is going to start to give us access to places in this city that no one else can go. To give us access to places that we didn't imagine or dream that we would have the opportunity to minister in. God is going to open doors that we thought were shut. God wants to give us the master key of the city. And then the last thing that I'll mention, and folks, this little book here lives on the front seat of this pew, of the front seat here. And this is your book. Nobody owns this. This belongs to Evangel. And we write in this every time we have a prayer meeting. We write stuff that we believe God is saying to us. And you are welcome at any point to come and pick it up and read it. This is your book. And so I just summarized a few things from the week. Last thing I'll mention, and there are many. We don't have time for all of them today. Is just that discerning that there's a sleepy stuckness for us at Evangel. There's not the spiritual level of passion and zeal for Jesus that he wants for us. And that it's time to shake it off. What our lips, this was what was written, what our lips say or sing, our hearts are not always in it. And we need to realign our hearts with our lips. The things that we're saying, that we need to walk them out. We need to live them. We need to live it, be it, right? So that's not criticism. This is just God, I think, encouraging us. It's like a little kid, their parent, and the parent saying, you know, just teaching them to walk, right? And they're letting go of the coffee table, and the parent's like, come on, you can do it. You can do it. Come on. Keep going. May we hear God, not his condemnation, not his anger. May we hear his, come on, you can do it. Right? Okay. Just got a few minutes left. And I want to ask you, this is part two of making room for God. I'm calling today, seek first. Seek first. Many of you in the room could finish the Bible verse connected with that, right? But my question to you today, and to me today, to us today, is what are you seeking first? What are you seeking first? Right? Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, but seek first God's kingdom, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So the immediate context of this verse is that Jesus is telling his followers not to worry about the stuff in their life and live in anxiety about their daily needs. If they seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, he will look after them. But the statement in this verse is so much bigger than just an anxiety placebo. It's bigger than Jesus just wanting us to not live with anxiety. But in the larger context, Jesus says these words, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. About three quarters of the way through the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' manifesto, Jesus declaring to the world and to his disciples what he was about, what his ministry and his life were about. Now, I would suggest that this is a summary of what he's been saying until this point in the Sermon on the Mount. I think in saying, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, he's saying it in contrast with people who are seeking all kinds of other things. People who are seeking to control others with their anger. People who are seeking to feel morally superior to others. People who are seeking money, possessions, the applause of others, vengeance for perceived wrongs, to be perceived as closer to God because of their praying, their fasting, their giving. And all of these things Jesus has been talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. I believe Jesus is telling us whatever we seek first is what we have made most important in our lives. The Bible and history are both littered with stories of people who want God, but want something else more. Paul refers in his letters to a guy named Demas. D-E-M-A-S, Demas. Paul wrote the letter of Colossians when he was in prison for his faith in Christ. And at the end, near the end of the letter to Colossians in chapter 3, verse 14, he says, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. So they were there with Paul as he's in prison. I don't think they were in prison necessarily, but they got visiting rights. They're there with him, helping him write this letter. Demas was an important part of Paul's team. But later, Paul wrote the letter of 2 Timothy. Probably about 10 years later. And this time, Paul is in prison again in Rome, and he has been judged by Nero and is waiting his execution. He is about to die, and he knows it. And he writes to Timothy, and he says, do your best, Timothy, to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. What a sad thing to have your leader and mentor say about you. Demas wanted God, but he wanted the things of the world more. He sought first this world. So I want to say, first of all, this morning that we are called. Jesus is calling us. The scriptures are calling us. The Spirit of God is calling us to seek God's presence. God says a number of times throughout the scriptures that we are to seek him, to make him our primary pursuit. God created humans for a relationship with him. Adam and Eve rejected God by their disobedience and choosing to listen to the serpent and his lies rather than walk in fellowship with God. And we can blame Adam and Eve. We can shake our fingers at them all we want, but we humans in 2026 are still choosing oftentimes the lies of the serpent instead of choosing God. We've made enough of our own mess that we have no room to pick on Adam and Eve, right? But God has invited us to return to him. He has always, throughout the scriptures, has always made a way to come to him because he loves humanity and he never wanted to give up on us. But God wants a relationship with you, not a robot ship, right? He doesn't want to make you come to him. He doesn't want to program you to come to him. He wants you to want to come to him. As part of his plan to bring humanity back to himself, he called a man named Abraham and his descendants, who became the Israelites, to be a nation of priests, a nation who would represent God on the earth and bring a message of hope. But even God's special people abandoned him to worship false gods. And here's what God said about that to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. He says, My people have committed two sins. Can sum up humanity's rebellion against God in two things. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Two sins. They've abandoned me, forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns that cannot hold water. In other words, our sinful human tendency is to turn from our Creator who wants to give us life and wants us to find our source in Him. And instead to try and find ways to become our own source of life. We think we can find happiness in food, in money, in friends, in family, in sex, in technology, in social media likes, in cars and homes and toys. But none of it holds water. Only the thing we were made for, a living relationship with God, our Maker, can bring us the life we long for. And that can only happen because Jesus came to make a way, praise God, came to make a way for us to be reconciled to God. So we need to repent of our broken cisterns, repent of trying to find our own life and peace without God, and come back to the spring of living water. Later in Jeremiah, he writes down a prophecy from God, words that God was saying to his people. And he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." We all want hope and we all want a future, right? And that's God's plan for us. But he was writing to a people who had rebelled against God and turned away from him. And God's still saying, he's still pursuing them. He's still going after them. He's still saying, I have plans for you to bring you hope and a future. says, then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, he says. Are we willing to seek God? Are we content with a God who is out there? Are we content with a God who's an idea? Are we content with a God who we know about but we don't truly know? We don't have to be, folks. God says, seek me with all your heart and you will find me. He wants you and I to know his presence. That's what it's always been about. God walked with Adam in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. He talked with Abraham. He spoke with Moses face to face as one man speaks with his friend, the Bible says. The fire of God's presence danced over the tabernacle in the center of Israel's camp whenever when they were camping in the desert, because God wanted his people to know his presence in the middle of their community. God wants his people not to just believe in a greater power, but to know and experience his living reality with us. Even our religion and churchiness can sometimes be a way to actually avoid God, but throw him a bone. He ought to be happy I showed up here today, shouldn't he? I mean, I put pants on and everything. It's cold out there, and I warmed my car up. I made the effort, and I got here. That should count for something. But folks, God wants more than an hour and a half Sunday morning. He wants 100% of our hearts. He wants our hearts. And I think if we truly believed half of what we say and sing and hear on Sundays, our hearts would be so on fire for Jesus that we would make him the absolute pursuit of our life. Suzanne is with me on that one. I don't know. Stir up a hunger in our soul. Stir up a hunger in our soul. We are too easily satisfied with a taste of the bread of life when there is a banquet prepared for us. I know that sometimes those of us who've been around for decades, sometimes we can slip into a season of being bored with God. Because we've heard it all before. We've heard all the stories. And when we start going through the motions, we can slide into neutral. And we lose the wonder and the fire of our relationship with God. Jesus warned the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation. This was a church This was a church that was birthed in the greatest move of God described in the New Testament. Unparalleled. Read it in Acts chapter 19. It is the greatest move of God you will read in the book of Acts. That what God did in Ephesus in 2 years of outpouring of his Spirit transformed an entire province. It was birthed in hot, powerful revival. And that 40 years ago, just 40 years ago, Jesus writes to the church in Ephesus and says, "You have lost your first love." And all that God had done had become ho-hum. And they no longer were seeking after God. They were content to just cruise along on stale, empty faith and run great programs, but were devoid of his presence. You ever feel like sometimes God plays hide and seek? You ever feel like sometimes he's hiding and you don't know why? Any honest people out there? I believe he does. I believe he does play hide and seek. But here's the deal. God doesn't hide so that he can't be found. He hides so that he can be found. If I'm playing hide and seek with my grandsons, I mean, as a grown-up, compared to a five-year-old, I'm pretty good at hiding. Right? How fun would it be for them if they counted to 20 and then they couldn't find me for 4 hours? Right? I mean, I would win, but how fun would that be for them? Right? When I hide, playing hide and seek with my grandsons, it's not so that I can't be found by them. It's to see the delight and the squeal on their face when they find me. God hides in places in our lives, not so that we can't find him, but he wants to see the delight on our face when we do find him. He says, "You will be found by me." He is just waiting for us to go looking. Let's stand. I've got a whole other point we're not going to do. It's really good. What's that? Yeah. I just would rather make time for you and I to actually seek him. I don't know. It's pretty quiet in this room this morning. I don't know if you're asleep. I don't know if you're just processing. And you know what? If you're in a place of being spiritually just bleh, it's okay. You're welcome. I'm glad you're here. glad you put pants on and warmed up your car and you came here this morning. I'm glad you're here. And this is the place to lean in and press in and find something more than maybe what you're walking in right now. Seek first Him, His presence, His priorities, which was the whole half of the message I didn't get to. His priorities. Seek first Him. Are you willing, here's the question, are you willing to let Holy Spirit examine your heart to determine what you are truly seeking first? So folks, whatever you are seeking first, you will find. But it may not give you life. Let's pray. Hallelujah. God, I thank you for your relentless pursuit of us. I thank you that, Jesus, you came from the Father seeking our hearts. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you never stop working. Even when we don't see it, you don't stop working, pursuing our hearts, drawing us to the Father, exposing things in our hearts, not because you want to shame us or embarrass us, but because you want more for us. You want us to trade in what isn't giving life for the life of God. Thank you for pursuing our hearts. God, I pray that we would truly seek you first. God, you'd examine our hearts. That God, if we need to spend some time this morning before we leave this building, laying down some things that we've been living for, focused on, in order to pick up the life and the peace and the blessing and the strength and the joy that you have to give us. And God, may we do it this morning. We want to take a step towards you, towards seeking you first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for coming this morning.